Hello, and thank you for joining me on another episode of the Tech Exec Podcast. I'm your host, Aviv Ben Yosef, and today's subject is failing spectacularly. But before we get to that, I have a special free offer for all of you, my dear listeners. Next week, on Monday, I'm having a free webinar about creating leverage. It will provide you with a set of skills and tools for your own personal growth and for your team's growth so that during this phase in handling the crisis, your team keeps on improving because you have to improve the way you're improving and will provide you with a way to become even more productive in a sustainable way after the crisis. It's free, you're all invited, so check out the link in the show notes and I'd love to see you there, and you can send me questions ahead of time via email, so feel free. Now, what we're talking about today is failure. And I'd like to start with the fact that failing is a necessity. Too many people have their egos bruised whenever there's failure involved. They do not allow their teams to fail in any way. Take a second and think back. When's the last time your team had a failure? And I'm not talking about a catastrophic failure, but something failed, be it something didn't work technically. Maybe a new process they tried to use just wasn't right. Maybe the new tool they brought in isn't good. Whatever. Now, if you can't think of these, then first of all, that means that you're not trying hard enough. I'm not big on cliches, but I do believe that if you're not failing, you're not trying. So you have to fail every now and then, because otherwise, it means that your team are always operating within their own comfort zones. No one is trying to do anything new, and if you're not doing anything new, and you're not doing anything novel, then your team is not an R&D organization. There's no new coming out of it. What you get is an outsourcing company that happens to be sitting in the same office with you, and actually, given the pandemic, it means that they're not even sitting in the same office as you are. You have to fail. Now, if you can think back of a failure, please think how that failure was treated in your company. How did you behave when you heard about it? And how did your managers behave? How did you react to it? If we understand that failures are a must and a necessity in a growing organization, we must be sure that people feel the safety in order to fail, because otherwise they'll be covering their rear ends and won't do anything dangerous, in air quotes. So, think about your reaction. What is the reaction in your organization whenever things fail? And then consider, do you induce safety? That means that whenever people fail, do they know that their manager has their back? Or are they scolded and learn that they should never fail because it's going to turn up in their quarterly review, or that it means that they might not get a raise? You have to create safety in order for people to fail in your organization. Of course, you don't want them to fail doing everything, but you do have to account for some failures happening in order to see growth. To induce the safety and the growth, acknowledge that there are several types of failures that you will experience. Each one should be treated differently. When there's a failure related to a technical bet, which means that someone decided to try a new tool or decided to refactor some piece of code, your team decided to move to Kubernetes, you decided to write that microservice in a different language, whatever. Whenever those technological bets fail, review them and make sure that they were placed out of the right motives and inside your modus operandi. It is okay to allow technological bets, because otherwise we would all still be using COBOL, but you have to ensure that whenever people do it, it's in a way that does not harm the organization, or at least assures that you cannot harm the organization too much. So if you decided to try and implement a new microservice in a new language, make sure that reverting that decision and re-implementing that microservice within your existing stack will not be something that you cannot accomplish within your allowed timeframe. And if the bet shouldn't have been placed because, for example, you have a veto in your organization, and the architects have decided that no one should be implementing anything outside of your Kubernetes cluster in 2020, then people should know that that was not a well-made bet. Another example of failures would be people bets or hiring bets and promotion bets. In some companies, you simply cannot allow for any failure in hiring because if it's, for example, the core team of the company and you only have this much of a runway, you cannot hire people who might delay you too much during that phase because you might end up learning that they are not good enough but not having enough cash in the bank in order to get someone else and redo the work. But as you grow, it is okay to take some sort of bets. For example, I advise a lot of companies to consider not only aiming for the best senior people, because getting them is like finding a bunch of unicorns walking around, and instead placing bets on medium engineers that seem to have a lot of potential and investing in them. That is a riskier bet, but it has a great reward if you succeed. Now, if you want to take such a bet in your company, that's great. But whenever you're placing such bets, you have to ensure that you have a mechanism in order to review your success metrics and making sure that you learn. Again, you have to improve the way you're improving. That's all there's to it. So whenever you're doing that, make sure, for example, that your recruiters know that you are operating within some sort of a bet here, that you are making some decision that you know might turn out not to be the right one, and that it is okay to fail within some sort of margin. You don't expect them to nail each and every one, but if you're going to hire in the next quarter 10 people, you cannot afford to have each and every one of those become a failure, just as an example. And there are many other types of failures. There's the organizational bets. If you're creating a new team or moving to work in cross-functional teams or creating a new division or deciding to have your people all be full stack. There's the planning failure when someone did not account for extra work that needs to be done. And for example, there's also the value/goal failure, which is we said that we would do X, but we didn't because we didn't get there in time. All of these are all sorts of failures that it is okay and sometimes even a necessity to fail in. But you have to realize when that is a possibility and when it is not. To do that, you need to create a culture so that people know, and by people I mean you yourself as the exec responsible of the whole organization under you and your managers in the organization. And you should all know whenever you should be preempting possible failures and stating whether this is a situation where failure is not an option or where we are operating in our regular learning optimized way, which means that some failures are bound to happen. So for example, if you're hiring a senior director and you know that there's no way that you will reach your 2020 goals if that director is a bust, make sure that everyone knows that you have to nail it with this hire. There's no redoing that. But for example, your engineers should know that they are allowed some slack in order to decide whether to rewrite some parts of the system that they think need rewriting, using a new library, adding a new tool. Your managers should know that they can try all sorts of new processes within their organizations in order to see how things pan out, and that those things will not necessarily always be right, and that's fine. So make sure that in your company, people know whenever failure is an option and when it is not, and make sure that you handle failures in the right manner. That means whenever people have failed, you want to ensure that there is learning. What could we have done better in the first place? Should this be something that we could have prevented? Or is this a sort of failure that we are okay with and we will simply have gained some learning about a specific issue and hopefully it would not happen again? Learn whether you should have put in place more contingencies so that, for example, tying back to my microservice example, maybe you should have made sure that someone was starting to work on an adjacent microservice that does the same thing using your existing tech stack in order to ensure that you will have something to deliver by the end of the year. Once you know that your risks are laid out and your team knows which tasks are things that must not fail and must be done in a certain manner and which are ones that it is okay not to do 2 years of planning in order to ensure that they do not fail, be sure that your team grows from failures and that you induce safety. So if you said that something is okay to fail, don't come out yelling when it does fail. It's okay to say that, all right, this was something that could have failed, but why is this the third time in a row that we're failing during? But make sure that it is okay to fail. So your managers do not scold people. And it does not mean that I'm going to get a bad performance review. And think, how can you induce people to get out of their comfort zone even more? So maybe celebrate every month the craziest failure you had, or every quarter. Celebrate the craziest idea that failed. And celebrate management that has the guts to take bold risks when they might have a good reward. Nassim Taleb talks about taking risks where you know that your failure is bounded, but your reward, potential reward, is way, way bigger. Help your managers learn which kinds of risks are risks that they should be investing in. What are the smart bets to take and what are the lose your pants bets? And to sum it all up, make sure that your failures are indeed spectacular. If a team failed because they tried to implement all of your stack in Microsoft Excel, which is crazy, but I don't know, might have saved you all of your AWS bills, I'm guessing that's a worthwhile experiment. If a squad didn't reach all of its yearly OKRs, but they got whatever they had to get and they got pretty close to the other things while in the meanwhile making sure to have great quality or growing the team or contributing to other teams, then maybe that's a good thing and you should be talking about that as well. And make sure to celebrate. If you recall, I talk a lot about celebrating wins. And the same way that you crank open a bottle because the team did something very good, you need to allow them to fail and you need to pat them on the back, say, that was a good try, let's try again. You want to make sure that they know that this is a place where it is safe to fail. That's it for this time. I'm wishing you many spectacular failures and many, many more great wins. I remind you once more that I have a great webinar next week. Subscribe in the link in the show notes. Even if you cannot attend live, feel free to send in questions in advance and you'll get a link to the recording later. And other than that, I have my usual newsletter coming out every week, even if there's a pandemic. And that includes 3 exclusive insights I don't share anywhere else. The link for that as well will be in the show notes. Thank you. Keep safe.